All right, just to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing again to be here with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your power. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us, Father, to have ears to hear and hearts to apply, Father, to your will. Again, we just thank you for all you do for us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Let's just begin in verse 1 here. I'm going to give us a quote just from Galatians chapter 5. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And over here in Romans verse 1, I want us to keep in mind, or the thought, that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. You know, it's so easy for us to go from one side to the other, just kind of whenever we're talking about freedom, we're talking about salvation. Whenever we're talking about anything, it's easy for us to get out of balance. And, you know, we could spend our lives just trying to make sure we have everything balanced. And there's people that do that way. And they just try to keep everything perfectly balanced. And that is bondage in itself. You know, we read these verses here, and where Paul was talking to the Romans, and they had been talked about how they had been delivered from the law. And the argument, you know, they were set free from the law, so nothing really mattered anymore. And the other side of the pendulum is, well, I'm not under the law, I can do whatever I want. And they call that freedom. And that same battle is raging today, just like it was back then, because these are human beings that it seems like whenever we get free from one thing, we run right into something else to become in bondage to. And we go from being in bondage to a bad thing to run right headlong into being in bondage in something that looks a lot better oftentimes. And the problem is, it's still bondage. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Here he's talking about grace and the purpose of grace. And the question is, what shall we say then? Will we continue in sin that grace may increase? You know, whenever we talk about this grace, this forgiveness that God has given, the thought is that if God has forgiven us, then we can go right back and keep on doing what we're doing. And that's what he's asking. Can we just continue being what we are? And then verse 2, it says, may it never be. How shall he or we who are died, we who died to sin, still live in it? For you do not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Here he's explaining just the picture of baptism and how that we've died to ourselves, and now we're living unto Christ. And I want us to keep in mind the idea this morning of being free. It's so easy for us to get caught up. We've talked about it before, about how we've gone from just keeping the Old Testament laws and we're free from that. Now we got the New Testament laws and now we're going to just keep them. And that's not the goal here. The goal is to be like Christ and to be alive, not just bouncing from one set of laws to another. You know, a lot of times whenever we started what we're doing here, you know, our goal was for people to be able to be free to make their own choices of following the Lord. You know, I went to the evangelical churches for 7 years after I began following the Lord. It's all I knew. And the battle was there, you know, well, if you once you're saved, then you can just do whatever you like because you're free. And we, you know, you just read the Bible and you know that's not what it's saying. He's not just saying you've just got liberty to be whatever you want to be now. And we saw that argument just didn't make sense, just like it's talking about here. Shall we continue in sin? And people were talking about grace, just covering over all those things. Whenever we become born again, we are set free from Satan's power on our lives. We're set free from sin. And I think that's one of the things that most people miss. Doesn't mean you never sin again. But it no longer has a power and control over you that it once had. I remember being delivered, just set free from things that I had been in bondage to all of my life. And whenever I yielded my will to the Lord, that is where the death came into being. Whenever I yielded my will to the Lord, you know, a lot of times the problem is we just want to be saved. We don't like the bondage and the pain and the hurt of sin, so we just want to be saved. But it never touches our will to who's actually in control of our lives. We just go from one religious thing to another, or one unreligious thing to a religious thing. And now I'm just saved, but I'm still in bondage. The bondage, the freedom comes that Jesus talks about is whenever we yield our will to his will. You see that little handheld fist about the size of our heart that says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And no one's going to tell me any different. You know, we can be in chains, be slaves, we can be free. But every man has got that heart that's standing there with its fist clenched. You know, you can be in slaves, being beaten, and just be full of anger and wrath or whatever because of how people are treating you, and still hold on to that heart. or we can be just as free as a bird in outward experience and do whatever we want to do and still just have our hands clenched around our heart and our will. Jesus came into this world for that one thing right there. For that clenched heart. For that fist clenched around your own will. When Jesus was going to be put to death the next morning in Gethsemane, he prayed. And he asked the others to pray with him, but he wound up alone praying, and he prayed with great sweat, drops of blood. And his prayer was, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And I can't emphasize enough that Jesus' struggle and power everything that was attacking this world, Satan, was right there faced by the Lord the night before he was crucified. And he had that same battle, whether he was going to, he said, "Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's where Jesus won the battle. That's the difference between just trying to find a balance between freedom and not freedom, or liberty and bondage, or grace and power. It's right there in our heart. That's where Jesus found the power to be able to face all the world had to throw at him the next day as they nailed him to that cross. He said, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." We talk about standing and religious, and we have some little things, and there's people that really stand for some of the things they believe. But our goal should be to stand in that place where, "Lord, thy will be done." To open that fist. That's what it means, lifting up holy hands. It's hands that are not clenched around my own heart and my own will, but hands that are open to the will of God. Whenever Jesus came into this world, he came because man had sold himself unto Satan. And Satan had man as long as he'll hold his hand just like that, make that fist around his own heart. Man was in Satan's power. He was in Satan's control. He belonged to Satan. That's why Jesus came into this world, so that man could open his hand, reduce that fist, and open it up to God. That's the difference. Whenever the Bible talks about freedom and grace, it's not a freedom to go do whatever you want to do. It's a freedom to open your heart to Christ. To be what He wants you to be. Instead of this independent, rebellious, maybe tough looking, maybe strong looking, maybe powerful looking thought of freedom, that I can do whatever I want to. But the problem is we're still in Satan's bondage. We're still under his power and under his control. Life comes when we die to ourselves and allow Christ to set us free. Not just to do our own thing, but set us free to be a servant of His. Verse 5, it says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." What's our freedom look like? You know, like I said earlier, was with some plain churches for about 7 years. And we were under a group that had their own set of rules. And so they looked real good, and they were New Testament based and very good people. But no one could really make their own decision, because if the group made a decision, everyone had to go along with what the group said. So a man doesn't really have his own will. He just takes that and gives it to someone else, and someone else makes all the decisions. And now all I have to do is just keep in line with the mob, and everything's just fine. And it looks good, but it still doesn't get a hold of a man releasing his will on a personal basis, on a personal way to live daily with Christ. You know, it may set him free from a lot of the bondages and the evil things that we're trying to guard against in the world. We don't want our children involved in. We want to protect them from those things. But yet, if all we do is just teach them how to go along with the mob, I mean, that's not much different than what the world's trying to do and teach us just to go along with the mob. It's a lot the same thing. We have to make these decisions and these choices ourselves. Whenever we began, that's what we wanted. It's what we still want. We want every man and every woman, every young man and every young lady, every boy and girl to get to the place to where they are walking with God on their own. You know, that was one of the things, well, that was one of the arguments, you know, that pendulum we're talking about. Well, if the church don't have the rules, then everybody is just a free-for-all. You can do whatever you want. And that happens sometimes. We get to thinking, well, we don't have rules. And some of the people begin to think, well, we don't have rules. I'm not going to be in bondage to anybody. I'm going to do whatever I want. And stand there with that fist talking about freedom whenever they're in Satan's captivity 100%. You see, freedom doesn't mean lawlessness. We do have things that we believe. Jesus taught us things to do and to apply and to be. They are rules, as it were. But not that we're just trying to keep them so we're keeping a bunch of rules. But he's telling us how to live. And living free is one of the most difficult things that a person will ever do. Because we're attacked on every side. We're tempted on every angle to be caught into this or to that. Sin brings bondage. And we see the ugly part of that with people hooked on all kinds of things, and they don't have power over their own lives in the world. And religion has that same kind of power over us. The most difficult thing in the world is to live like a free man. because we have to choose every day. Not my will, but thine be done. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live like him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Right here, the life that he lives is no longer that one that's held up, holding your own heart in independence and rebellion, but now it's open to live it to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, man was never made to be this independent being that just does whatever he wants to do. He was created to be a servant of God. And when his will got all messed up and he chose to turn his back on God, he became a servant to Satan. You're going to serve somebody. As much as we like to think we're independent and we're free and we're powerful and we don't have to listen to anybody, that's just not reality. You're living a big delusion and you're deluding yourself. We're going to serve somebody. Christ gives us the opportunity to stay free by following him. You see, that kind of yielding doesn't bring bondage like the other does. You know, whenever we become a servant of Christ, we're not bound. We're free. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lust. See, we want victory over this world. We want victory over sin. Yield yourself to Christ and his power. And do not go on presenting the members of your bodies to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see, we have this desire just to be free. And the only way that we can be free is quit yielding ourselves to the things that bring us into bondage and yield ourselves to God. Instead of being a slave to sin, we become a slave to God. We want the freedom. We hate the bondage that the devil brings. But we don't want to just cross that line. We want to stand right here in the middle and say, I'm going to be independent of all of that. And we don't want to cross that line and say, I'm going to be a slave to God. I'm going to follow Christ. The boys, several of them, talked about stories of young men in the early church and back through history that got a hold of that. And it didn't matter what the world would offer them. They wanted Jesus. And you know, they didn't need a whole church to stand beside them. Whenever the persecution came, they'll single the individual person out. Nobody else is making the decision for them. That's why it's so important that it's not just a church decision that I'm doing things. It's a decision that I'm making because I'm going to be free. And I'm going to yield myself to Jesus and his will. So that when times are hard or times are bad and there's maybe a persecution, Whenever you're isolated and all by yourself and your buddies aren't around and nobody's watching and they come along and say, hey, we can fix all of this. Just give up. You don't have to be so hard-headed. I can set you free. You know, if we haven't learned how to be that man when we are free, we're not just going to learn it when we're not. For sin shall not be, verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. See, this is real, this grace. It's not just some doctrinal thing. This grace is the power of God to be what He wants us to be. And the only way is when we give up one master and we cling to another. We just want to be, our heart is, I just want to get by enough so that I don't go to hell. So that I'm not off lost in some sin. I just want to be right here in the middle where it's easy. But easy is not where it is with taking up your cross and following Jesus. It's on that commitment the other direction. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? There's no in between. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you are committed. And having been freed from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. You see, freedom, real freedom, is only free when we're serving who we were created to serve. We think we're free because we can do whatever we want. It may seem we have power, but that real freedom only comes when we yield ourselves to God's righteousness. Not a righteousness that appears all right and we still hang on to ourselves. But a righteousness that we've yielded our hearts to God. That's what we're looking for. You know, that's what keeps the church where it's supposed to be. Whenever the next generation comes along and instead of just rolling along, they say, no, it's not good enough to roll along. I want to be a servant of Christ. I want to follow Jesus. I want to know what those who have gone before had that was worth dying for. I don't want just to be a part of the church that just goes along. Be a part of the group. You know, that's why we want people to make their own decisions to do this. The things that I had learned just by following the Lord before I ever met any plain group, I've told them this. I said, you know, you didn't teach me those things. I'm glad you're keeping them. But I've keeping these because I've chosen to. And if we don't have that, we're not really free, are we? May the Lord add His blessings. It was for freedom that Christ died. Help us. You know, we just had a baptism. Tried to remind everyone that, you know, any of us that's been baptized has made those commitments and those vows. Are we still there? Or did they just get kind of set on the back shelf? May the Lord help us live in a constant state of not my will, but thine be done. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Couple prayer requests. Jason Utzi's wife, Julia, had a sister that passed away suddenly in her sleep. Frida was her name. Also, Amos Utzi, who just got through heart surgery. He's got a long recovery. Appreciated the message. That was good. Let us hear this.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you. Till we meet again.